Last week I was really passionate about the dream that God has given me, this church, each of you, and how we dare not let it go. This week, we speak of one of the reasons why dreams are let go, and that is rejection. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 22 to 30, we find ourselves this morning, Luke 4, 22 to 30, in a sermon entitled Rejection. Luke 4, 22. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son, they asked? Jesus said to them, surely you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself, and you will tell me, do here in your hometown what you have heard you did in Capernaum. Truly I tell you, he continued, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Father in heaven, we so often focus on your crucifixion and upon that rejection. And yet, Lord, here at the start of your ministry, rejection was a constant theme that you would not allow your ministry to be stopped by. So help us today as we examine rejection in the light of your word. In Christ's name, amen. And so I ask you the question this morning, have you ever been rejected? I have. I know I have. More than once. Even Lucy rejected me at a time. Have you ever had a door shut in your face? I have. And I'm not even a Jehovah's Witness. Welcome to the real world. Parents spend years grooming their children for success. Perhaps it would be more profitable to train our children to handle failure and rejection. Because everyone faces these unhappy experiences sooner or later. Whether you understand it or not, young people, those of us who have lived any time at all know that success is not something that we are entitled to. That happiness is not something that is guaranteed. The world doesn't owe you everything. You will experience unhappiness. People will bully you. They will be mean. And if you haven't experienced them already, you're going to. Go to Google. Type in famous rejections. If you do, you'll learn that J.K. Rowling, author of the Harry Potter series, rejected by 12 different publishers before her work was accepted by one. One of them advised her not to quit her day job, but she did not listen. To date, her writings have netted her more than $1 billion. That's billion with a B. I believe she could live on that. You'll discover that just after one performance, Elvis Presley, Elvis, was fired by Jimmy Denny, manager of the Grand Ole Opry. He reportedly told Elvis, "You ain't going nowhere, son. You ought to go back to driving a truck." Last I heard, Elvis did all right for himself, too, at least as a performer. Steve Jobs, Apple computing fame, was at one time fired by the very company that he created. Eventually, he was taken back, of course, and Apple went on to become the most profitable company in the world. But I'm here to tell you that even Steve Jobs knew what it was to fail and to fall. Stephen King's first novel, Carrie, was rejected 30 times before it was published. Carrie, as you may recall, went on to spawn 4 movies, Broadway musical. Director Steven Spielberg rejected 3 times for admission into the University of Southern California School of Theater. Didn't want him in the film and television school. I guess they figured that Spielberg, who directed such films as Jaws, ooh, remember that one? E.T., Raiders of the Lost Ark, Saving Private Ryan, and many, many others, just couldn't cut it in the film business. Many young people today are having a difficult time getting their careers and even their own lives off the ground. Critics point out to the many adult children who still live at home. But many young adults who are on their own are also struggling. And all I can say to these young people is, don't give up. If you aren't an instant success, don't give up. Many of the most successful people who have ever lived have failed their first or second or third time at the bat. It even happened to Jesus. He's beginning his ministry here in this passage of Scripture, and he's a young guy, 30 years old. He's 30. He's been baptized by John the Baptist. You know, that really exciting time. Holy Spirit descends on him in bodily form like a dove. A voice comes from heaven. You are my son in whom I love. With you I'm well pleased. And immediately, almost, he's led into the Spirit, where for 40 days he's tempted by the devil. So here he is in today's scripture. He's returned to Galilee. He's in the power of the Spirit. The devil has been overcome in that temptation experience. News about him and all the things that he has done have spread throughout the entire region. He's teaching in the synagogues. He's met with praise everywhere he goes until he returns home. You can't go home again, said writer Thomas Wolfe, and in Jesus' case, he was right. Luke tells us that he went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. He didn't choose it, it was given to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. He didn't choose this. Get it? I mean, because you're saying, wow, why did he kind of pick a fight? No, he did not. This was the scripture of the day. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus gets done, he reads the scroll, he gives it back to the attendant, and then he sits down. Everybody in the synagogue is looking at him, and then he begins his lesson. And he begins his lesson by saying, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing, verse 21. Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Now, up to this, people were really impressed. I mean, they liked. Oh, man, he read that scripture so nice. Oh, we like that one. That's a really good one. And boy, oh boy, he spoke with authority. Whoo, he's a good speaker. Something about the way he presented himself that captured their attention. And Luke says to us that all The people were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. In verse 22, they say, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" So they still didn't get it when Jesus said his original, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Still didn't get what he was saying, so he had to engage further. Their hometown pride is swelling as they see this guy who made it. I mean, he's good. But Jesus kept talking. He kept talking, and the more he talked, the more he displeased and upset his hometown congregation. He said in verse 23, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' And you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you have done in Capernaum.' Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you." Listen to this. This is so cool. So God. This is what really ticked them off, and it was right out of the Bible. Truth hurts, and they weren't ready for it, and they rejected it. And just because you're being rejected doesn't mean you're wrong. Just because you're following the will and way of God doesn't mean that you should shut up. Just because things don't seem to be working out at the time and you're about to be pushed off the cliff like Jesus was, doesn't mean you should stop. So here we go. Here's the scripture. There were many widows in Israel, verse 25, in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut up for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. So it's like, there were people dying. There were people starving. They didn't have anything. Yet, while all this is going on, all these people, including God's chosen people, had this happening to them, Elijah was not sent to them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. It doesn't always make sense to people, even in the church, what you're doing. It's like, this makes sense. You got all these people over here. Come on, go with them. Why would you go over here to this people? I mean, Rob knows what I'm talking about. People constantly are telling him, look at all these other people we got throughout Rockland County. Why do we got to deal with the Hasidic Jews? Well, if God's calling Rob to speak and proclaim to the Hasidic Jews, and he's calling that congregation to do it, then God help them if they don't listen to the mind, will, and word of God. If you're called to that place, I don't care if you're rejected, listen to the word of God. If you're rejected over and over again, keep trying until the Lord has his way. For God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He keeps going, though. He's not. See, I got off preaching that on to Medlin. But that's okay. So, this is Jesus talking. Jesus, there were many in Israel with leprosy. Horrible disease, keeping you away from everybody. The ability to be reconnected in the time of Elisha the prophet. Two big deal prophets. Two big deal, huge, important, respected people in the word by the people he's talking to. And he continues, "Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." Another person, the person who God chose, the one who he wanted for his purposes, his reasons. So, what happened? When Jesus speaks the truth of the word of God, the mood in the synagogue began to change. What's he saying? He's not going to perform any miracles in Nazareth like he's performing in other places? Aren't we good enough? Why not? Is he saying that his theological views have taken him far beyond those small town attitudes that he was brought up with. Who does Jesus think he is? The people did not understand Jesus at all. And just because your family doesn't understand you doesn't mean you're wrong. Just because they reject you, it doesn't mean you're on the wrong path. It just means you share something in common with Jesus. Luke tells us that they were absolutely furious. They were so furious. They were so furious that they drove him out of town, verse 29, took him to a hill, to a cliff, and were ready to throw him off. They were ready to kill him right then before he started his ministry. That's how furious they were with him. And yet, here's the Word of God. It's a verse you could pick out of context and just not get its power. You know, all the rejection, everything else is happening. Here's Jesus. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. So how did Jesus deal with rejection? Was he wowed by it? Was he overwhelmed? What was his response? How did Jesus respond? What would Jesus do, as we have? Simply enough, he didn't get angry. He didn't say anything. He didn't try to convince them. He'd already said his piece. He walked right through the crowd and went on his way. What a remarkable beginning to his ministry. And you're worried about your future? I mean, most every young pastor has a lukewarm response to their first sermon, but this was ridiculous. I remember one of my first sermons in a Presbyterian church in Philadelphia, and I was going to Westminster Seminary, and it was a church where the salvation message was not always proclaimed every Sunday. And so I had the ability as this young whippersnapper to just give the gospel. So I asked this wonderful, intelligent man who I respected, a teacher, how did it go? And he said, next time you might want to use a rifle, today you used a shotgun. He wasn't saying I didn't hit the target, he just said you don't have to do it all at once. So every pastor's had some lukewarm responses. They were ready to kill Jesus, tough audience, but some people in the crowd noted that these folk had some biblical grounds for doing what they were going to do to Jesus. Deuteronomy 13 says, if you have a false prophet in your midst, you may kill him in the eyes of his own people. In the eyes of his own people, Jesus, the Son of God, was perceived to be a false prophet and eventually, of course, was put to death. It's a sad but true fact of life, because false prophets prosper while true prophets are rejected. Some people are punished not because they've done something wrong, but because they've done something right. Corrie ten Boom, one of the greatest saints of the 20th century. Many of you know her story from her book, The Hiding Place. She could have had a cushy life if she had chosen to cater to the biases of her time. If she'd been willing to go with the flow. If she had not had to stand up and do what God wanted her to do. But she decided that she would do what God had called her to do. And because of that decision, she was rejected. She was thrown into Ravensbrück concentration camp north of Berlin during World War II, where living conditions were horrendous. What was her crime? Did she steal? Did she kill? Did she commit adultery? No. Her crime was helping Jews escape from the Nazis. Corrie was a Christian lady who, along with her father and other family members, helped many Jews escape the Holocaust by hiding them in their homes And many of these Christian people, including Corey, paid a terrible price. Before the war ended, 96,000 women died there in that concentration camp. We're told that the smoke from the crematorium was like a black haze over the camp. Every day, 700 women died or were killed. Corey's beloved sister, Betsy, became an old woman in Ravensbrück right before Corey's eyes, slowly starved to death. Here's what's most disheartening. Corrie ten Boom went through the closest thing to hell on earth that a human creature can imagine. And it was not because she was doing something wrong, but because she was doing something right. Such things do happen in the world. False prophets get rewarded, true prophets get crucified. Or even worse, ignored. Popularity is never the proper way to judge who is right. The only measure that is trustworthy is whether that person reflects the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. What I'm saying is this. Do not despair. Do not despair if you get rejected as long as you are following Jesus. It doesn't matter how you're rejected. It might be socially. It might be professionally. It might be by people who you thought were your friends. It might even be by your own family. It might be because you've done something right, or it might be because you've done something wrong. Either way, I'm here to tell you something you already know. Rejection hurts. It stings. But listen to this word of reassurance. There are two remedies for rejection. Two remedies for rejection. The first is time. So, you know, give yourself a little time. I had surgery and would love to have completely recovered quickly. Doctors say 6 to 8 weeks. It's been 4.5, and I think I should have that happen. It's not rejection, but just getting better does take time. Time does heal all wounds, says the ancient adage, and some insightful sage has added, and wounds all heals. So time heals all wounds, and wounds all heals. Grand measure of truth, time. Time is the great healer. The funny lady Phyllis Diller once added, "Yes, time is a great healer, but time is a terrible beautician." Here's what we need to know. Persistence will eventually conquer resistance. Let me say that again. Persistence will eventually conquer resistance. Ask anyone who's made it through a heartbreaking experience, and they'll tell you that. If you hang in there long enough, the sun will shine again. That's why, by the way, that we must never make it easy for people to take their own lives in suicide. Most people who take their own lives do so during a period of depression. And for most people, depression passes given enough hours, days, weeks, months. The desperate person, if he or she will simply hold on a little bit longer, will live to see the ultimate worth of life. That's the word that must always be spoken to rejected hearts. Don't give up. Better days are coming. I read recently about the tragic ending to the life of Kurt Cobain, star of the rock group Nirvana. And it was April 1994. He's found dead in his home in Seattle by an electrician who came in to install a home security system. His death was ruled a suicide by a self-inflicted shotgun wound to the head. He was 27 years old. During the last years of his life, he struggled with heroin addiction, chronic depression. He had difficulty coping with his fame and public image. He had it all. It's like, oh, I'd like that. I'd like the money. I'd like the fame. I'd like to be able to perform. It didn't work out for him. Didn't work well at all. There were problems apparently in his marriage to his wife, musician Courtney Love, and he traced many problems back to his parents' divorce when he was 9 years old. He seems to have felt that in adding to rejecting one another, his parents were rejecting him by divorcing. And in fact, all of his short life, this seemed to be a common theme: rejection, 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 rejection. Do you know what one of the last recordings of his was titled? Jesus wouldn't want me for a sunbeam. Jesus wouldn't want me for a sunbeam. 27 years old. What a waste. Drug addiction's a terrible thing. Depression is a terrible thing. That's why I'm here to tell you, if you're going through a hard time right now, hang in there, regardless of how desperate you may feel. Most people who determine to take their own life discover that. If they can just hang in there until the cloud passes from their soul, there is hope on the other side. Time is a remedy for rejection, but an even greater ally for rejection is God. If God is for us, who can be against us? If somebody had just gotten the word to Kurt Cobain, not in a superficial way, but in a deep, authentic way, that Jesus did want him to be a sunbeam, what a difference that could have made. The most powerful antidote to feelings of rejection is the deeply inclusive, all-embracing love of God. Young man named Jeremiah, one of the premier prophets of the Old Testament, discovered that. Jeremiah was rejected in the same way that Jesus was rejected. And it depressed him. It broke his heart. In fact, he was known as the weeping prophet. Sad, hurt, depressed, overwhelmed. Deeply religious people sometimes experience depression. Don't forget, they do. I do. Just like everybody else. But Jeremiah had a good reason for weeping. Jeremiah was called by God to prophesy Jerusalem's destruction. And this destruction, he said, would occur by way of invaders from the north. And this was because Israel had been unfaithful to the laws of the covenant and had forsaken God by worshiping Baal. The people of Israel had gone as far as building high altars to Baal in order to burn their children in fire as offerings. And we think the issue of abortion and those things and the killing of children is new. This is the Bible. This is Jeremiah. Imagine the reasons for weeping that this man had. The burning of live children, even older than just out of the womb, 9 months old. The nation had deviated so far from God that in God's eyes they had broken the covenant, causing God to withdraw his blessings from them. And he was guided by God to proclaim that the nation of Judah would be faced with famine. Furthermore, they would be plundered and taken captive by foreigners who would exile them to a foreign land. How do you think they received that word? How do you think they liked listening to what God had to say in the midst of truth? People reject you. They hurt you. They attack you. That doesn't make you wrong. It means you're called by God and you need to keep doing what's right. How do you think such a prophecy was received? Change the channel, Gladys, one of them probably said. I'm tired of hearing what's wrong with this country. That's how it was received. People turned against Jeremiah. And Jeremiah had a hard time with that rejection. He could not have endured the isolation and the scorn that was his lot. What pulled him through? A deep and abiding faith in God. The word of the Lord came to him saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you." Wow! Now that's security. And you think you've got problems and are being rejected? God created you. He formed you and He consecrated you before you came out and were born. That is security. No wonder he could handle rejection. His life was built on the rock of God's love for him. He knew because he was speaking for God that time would prove his assertions were true. He had the greatest ally that anyone could have. He was on the side of God. Do you have that kind of security? Do I? An inner strength that will not fail. It was in that prison work that Corrie ten Boom discovered that the Lord was her refuge. It was there in that horrible time that she found that he was her hiding place. And God offers us, no matter where we are in our lives, that same kind of security, that same kind of refuge when we are rejected, when we are in pain. Rejection hurts. It's a universal hurt, but we can go on. There are two remedies for rejection that will never fail. Time and God. Time and God. We're impatient and we ask God why, and so we don't use the remedies to actually deal with it. Hang on. Hang on when things get tough and trust in the Lord. A popular little song from days gone by says, if tears were pennies and heartaches were gold, I'd have all the money my pockets could hold. We all been there in our own way, but there's another song. It's from the hymnal. And in it, you'll find these hopeful words. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that were broken will vibrate once more. Don't give up. Regardless of your situation, God is with you. Father in heaven, I thank you for the promise of your word, and I thank you for the example that you give us in your word. Life was not easy, and you were rejected from the start, but you knew who you were, and you knew what time would ultimately bring salvation to those who would believe. So help us, Lord, each person, however it is that they heard these words from your scripture, words of encouragement, words of lifting up, words of truth. You spoke into my heart. I pray for each person that's here that you would continue to bless them by the word of God and encourage them by the promises of God. May this word of truth ring out in Jesus' name. Amen.